Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, well, you just heard Jerry Berg say one of the things that we do is that we interview some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. And that's so true. Welcome, everybody. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon here. He is the founder and chief medical officer for Longevity Medical Clinic. Also with us, Dr. Samara Humat, who is our assistant medical director at Longevity. You are based out of our
Kirkland Clinic. The mothership.
But you kind of oversee everybody. So that's good. Well, both you do, but...
I just oversee her.
Well, you do a lot of the training. You both do some of the training.
Right.
Anyway.
I just, whenever she sends me a note and says, would you look up this
or help me with that? I do, and very frequently.
but otherwise, you still do the doctor training on Tuesdays.
That's right.
You know,
he does.
Those kind of things. So,
But she does more and more and more of the day-to-day, hands-off, solving the problems.
And you're getting hot to trot because you're waiting to be able to get on an airplane again comfortably and safely.
I've got several research projects that I want to go chase down. But until I can get there, there's not much I can do.
It's going to be happening. Again, interviewing the Northwest prominent physicians. Hello, we're on the air.
He's just happy.
I guess. I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert with us. Michael, how are you today?
Hello, Michael.
Good morning, gentlemen and Samara. It is a whistling sort of day.
Yeah.
It is.
It's the first time he's done that,
I know. He's just happy.
I have to make a list of things he can't do?
Well, anyway, you
can take the boy out of the country.
Yes.
You got it.
Hey, Michael, we are glad you called in. I reached out to you because we always get questions. Sometimes we get emails and texts and various other things. And I figured you were obviously the guy because I was asked to ask you this. I am a 53-year-old frustrated with vision getting weaker every year. Can you stop this? Had perfect vision until their 40s, then every year stronger readers, even for computers. Now even distance is blurring. I hate glasses that I suddenly need for full-time driving, skiing, hiking, etc. So, can you stop the decline? How do you respond to that?
Yeah, what they're talking about is, and age is really important, no one wants to hear at your age. I hate to start a sentence that way. But for someone in their 50s, that is right in the middle of the function decline of the natural lens. So we would call this a dysfunctional lens syndrome. Absolutely normal, but I think I've heard you folks say normal sometimes stinks.
Absolutely.
Normal's great when you're 18. There are no exercises that we know of. There are no supplements that I know of that can influence that curve. It's a pretty linear curve. You can look at people who are 60 and some look 80 and some look 40, but the natural lens tends to be much closer to a consistent decline in function. So mid-50s, absolutely normal for this kind of person who probably started out just a little farsighted, didn't know it, because they had healthy young lens that could easily compensate, and they're losing that ability year by year. The answer really is glasses, contacts, or implant technology. Now, LASIK could do distance vision, but it's going to keep changing. So the power of implant technology and what we would call refractive lens exchange, RLE, refractive lens exchange, is we take out that failing lens, put in a new one, and that lens lasts the rest of your life, which is to say the decline should totally stop, almost certainly. This is becoming very popular. You can wait until you have cataracts. But because the technology has improved, the quality of vision has improved, and our expectations have improved, many people who have active lifestyles want to get rid of that decline and fix their vision. LASIK works if you've already had lens implant surgery. And so I have 80-year-olds plus who will come in for LASIK after cataract surgery, so that they can, you know, I have a couple who have done long-distance international biking trips, and so they'll have laser vision correction over their implants so they don't need glasses biking. Skiers are very common. I have one physician who just recently had bilateral implants, refractive lens exchange, for better skiing because he hates glasses when he skis. And, you know, you folks were talking last week about a woman in her 80s who was still very active. I had an 83-year-old who had lens exchange so that she could go skydiving on her 84th birthday.
Was this the same lady as your?
Yep. Yeah, that was the lady that sent me the letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could be.
One of our patients. Pretty impressive. Yeah.
And then she, I said I needed to see a picture of her doing it. She brought it back, and then she wanted to do the second eye so that she could go again. So her first event was on her birthday. So quite amazing. But for this individual, I guess I almost said gentleman. I don't think we know the gender, but for this individual, implant technology is going to very easily be the best. With that technology, we can get distance, intermediate, and near vision, and it should be stable the rest of your life. It's one of the reasons I had my implants in my 50s. Personal choice, but if you're not happy with your vision, we can change it. If you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, LASIK is perfect and powerful. 50s plus, refractive lens exchange will give you much more than LASIK because we can stabilize your vision and give you both distance and near, no glasses.
Yeah. Michael, I did have a question, though, when I was listening to that question. The change starting in the 40s and so on, that clearly sounds like the, you know, plain old standard presbyopia. But I was a little worried when he was started talking about, and now the far vision is starting to go. That raised a question of, are we looking at an early glaucoma? Have we got something else going on? So my first impression was he needs to get in and get evaluated first to find out if there's some other pathology and it's not just the lenses.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there are a number of things that could be causing that. The most common would be someone who has just a low-grade farsightedness. And a very common situation like this is if you have young pilots, young military pilots, in their youth, in their 20s, their hot fighter days, they see perfectly. John Glenn, you know, people who end up top brass in the Air Force, saw perfectly in that 20-30 range. And they start to lose near. But they had that perfect vision because they were actually just a little bit farsighted in youth, but they powered through it. Didn't know it, powered through it. By the time they reach their 50s, they no longer can power through it, and now they need glasses first for reading, then computers, then distance, and then it ends up with a cataract in, you know, in your 60s, 70s. But you're absolutely right. While I was playing the odds, you would absolutely want to check and make sure there wasn't some early cataracts from medication, from trauma, from all kinds of things can lead to changes in lens, cornea, or you're right, glaucoma can certainly present that way.
Well, and I was thinking, because he was talking about, he liked it for skiing, high altitude, lots of ultraviolet light, you know, especially coming in laterally and off the snow, kind of sets him up for relatively early cataract formation. So
that's right. UV light, intensity of UV light accelerates cataracts. So that hiking and skiing individual who likes to be outdoors and didn't prefer glasses may have rejected sunglasses as well and be paying an early price for it.
Hey, Larry, Michael, I've got Larry from Carbonado on the line, if you'll take a question. Larry, welcome to the show. You're on with now Dr. Michael Gilbert.
Good morning, Larry.
Hello. Okay, about a week ago, I started getting blurred vision with along with nausea and a headache. And I've gone to see the doctor about it, and he told me to come back in a week and gave me an antibiotic. But so far, I haven't noticed any differences. This blurred vision is kind of like I've lost. I can see out of each eye okay, but when I try to see things together, they're doubled up on one on top of the other. And anyway, I was hoping it had something to do with this headache I was having, maybe.
Well, that your symptoms, Larry, would be very concerning for a narrow-angle glaucoma attack, because that is the one situation that would link nausea with eye or head pain. So I would want to make sure that that's been carefully checked.
Also, the diplopia worries me.
If you're getting double vision or shadowy vision, that can be as simple as just dryness. So putting a drop of artificial tears in would be a simple at-home test for what's going on with the quality of the vision. If I understood you to say, if you cover each eye independently, the vision's fine. But when you're using both eyes...
Well, actually, my left eye is still kind of blurry.
Okay, so I think we have to narrow down, you know, the first steps would be to see what corrects it. Can it be corrected with artificial tears? Is it a change in prescription? And that can happen acutely. For instance, oftentimes diabetes will present with a change in prescription and blurred vision because it causes the lens to swell. Glaucoma can be, that would not be associated with the nausea, though. So we either have to think that the nausea is unrelated, or we have to look for pressure-related issues. And with narrow-angle glaucoma, there's a very mild, or if you will, an intermittent form, where it isn't completely blocked all of the time, but then the angle that is responsible for allowing fluid to flow out of the eye can get blocked periodically, causing brief episodes of pain and nausea, and then it relieves and the pressure goes back to normal. So I think making sure that that's very carefully checked and make sure that nausea isn't related. But the answer should be easily gotten, whether that's an infection. Are you having a discharge from the eye or anything like that?
No, they're watery is all, especially in the morning. And I've noticed, so if I put an ice, you know, solution in there, they seem to be kind of better for a little bit, but then it kind of just goes away again. But even when my eyes kind of dry out, then after the, it's really bad with when they're watery, but after they get drier, it gets a lot better. You know,
is the watering part of this? Is that a recent symptom, or is that something that has been gradually building up over time?
No, it all happened kind of like at once, about a week ago.
So, you know, certainly dry eye can present this way. One of the most common reasons for tearing is your eyes drying out. But that's also a number one presentation of a viral illness on the conjunctiva, the front surface of the eye. And the vision can be part of an inflammatory reaction in the cornea. So if that's true, a simple steroid would be much more effective than an antibiotic. An antibiotic isn't going to treat the virus. It sounds like we need to take a careful look and make sure this is not a virus presentation versus a glaucoma presentation, or maybe just an asymmetrical presentation of the vision fluctuating.
Yeah, Larry just asked the question, how does he check it out? What does he do?
I'm concerned enough with the nausea and the pain. Give a call to our office first thing Monday. If you're getting eye pain over the weekend, you call our 2020 number, and someone will take care of you over the weekend. If it's just periodically, or maybe it's getting better, call us first thing on Monday, and we'll get you in on Monday.
Oh, okay. Where are you located, though? Because I'm way far south.
We have offices in Bellevue and Kirkland.
Yeah, where's, way the heck yeah. up there.
Yeah, where are you? You're Carbonado.
Well, I'm actually even south of Carbonado. Mountain International Park is where I'm at.
Well, he needs to see an ophthalmologist somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if he can't make it up here, he needs to see somebody down there. But
and with that in mind, Larry, let me give you the number. Actually, there may be other people thinking, I'm going to give Dr. Gilbert a call. And whether you do or not, Larry, that's up to you, of course. Personally, I like seeing the best, and we believe that to be the case with Dr. Gilbert. So here's the number for his clinic in Bellevue, 425-450-2020. That's 425-450-2020. And so we appreciate your call, Larry. But with that, Michael, I just want to say thank you much. This has been good.
Pleasure.
I appreciate you calling
in. Larry should get that checked out soon and not sit on it. That those are some concerning symptoms if they're linked.
You know, every time I talk to you, I think of my experience when I was in my 50s. I think I waited 4 or 5 years squinting before I actually went in and saw and got help. And that's a silly thing to do.
Jerry identified the possibility of glaucoma in our early patient. And, every year I have patients who come in their 40s who have noticed subtle changes in their vision that they've been putting up with, some who have even seen some eye doctors. And because they're young, it's presumed they don't have any serious pathology. And we diagnose permanent loss of vision from glaucoma.
All the more reason, Michael, we're going to have as many people call you as we can. Obviously, don't delay. Here's the number again, 425-450-2020. Plus, folks, you can go to nwvision.com and even make an appointment online, get information, all kinds of good information at nwvision.com. But smartest thing to do, just call the number, make an appointment, 425-450-2020. So thank you, Michael.
Thank you. The question doesn't surprise me. We have had a rapid increase just within the last couple of weeks of patients. I think it has to do with the lockdown and reaching for some freedoms, patients looking to get rid of glasses and less dependent on contacts and glasses for computer work, for reading, and for outdoor activities that they're looking forward to. So we're seeing much more interest right now in LASIK, refractive lens exchange, fixing those things that we can fix.
Sounds good to me. Again, thanks, Dr. Michael Gilbert.
Thank you for calling. Take care.
425-450-2020. When we come back, we're going to talk to Mary in Seattle. She has a question about sugar. Oh, yummy, yummy, yummy. We all eat too much sugar. Don't look at me that way.
No, we don't. We don't.
Anyway, that's Mary in Seattle. Then Gary in Bremerton has a question. Karen in Kirkland has a question about her 91-year-old father is having a hard time gaining weight.
Oops.
Don't go far.
That one is worrisome.
I went to a seminar 10 years ago. At that time, I noticed that my cholesterol had spiked. And plus, I was going through menopause at the time, and there were just lots of changes going on. And once I got on hormones and and got straightened out, I just saw a total change in everything. I mean, I saw results like within 2 weeks. It was truly a miracle, and so, you know, I'm hooked.
Come with me, my love, to the sea of love.
Ooh, this is Hold Your Woman and Dance.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, kids in bed, lights are low, warm evening. Just this hold each other and sway to this music. It's wonderful.
Either as an old person, but I enjoyed this song as a teenager. So anyway, yeah. We lost Mary. She had a question about sugar. And Mary, I'm sorry we lost you. But now let's go to Bremerton and talk to Gary. Gary, we're glad you called.
Hello, Gary.
Well, I guess good morning. I guess I can still say good morning.
Sure you can.
Well, I have some good news. But first of all, I want to ask you about taking nanokinesis as a supplement. I'm considering it after reading some stuff like, you know, 100 milligrams every day. Is it something you might suggest as a supplement, not just a treatment for something?
Nanokinase is one of those things that I find interesting, a bit underwhelming in objective evidence, but I like the theory. For what everybody out there, nanokinase is it's an enzyme. It's found in some plants and so on. But it is designed to break up fibrin.
Yeah.
It's to dissolve clots and decrease fibrin formation.
Natokinase.
What did I say?
Nano.
Oh, nano. Okay, sorry. Natokinase. I'm just, I guess I'm thinking of Mork and Mindy, you know, nano.
That's right, you are. Yeah, you're in a great mood today, whistling and all.
That's right. Anyway, you know, I see anecdotal reports of people swearing that they had cardiovascular disease and had all these terrible problems, and they used some natokinase for a while, and all of a sudden it all went away. And I see some lab studies saying that it is indeed, you know, a anti-fibrin, fibrinogen sort of involvement. But I have not seen anything in the way of peer-reviewed human literature talking about folks, for instance, with a thrombophlebitis and using natokinase successfully to decrease the thrombin or to break down the clot in the veins. Now, I have to admit that because I had seen the anecdotal stuff, oh, golly, I guess it was maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago. I had some old superficial varicosities in my right leg. I had a bullet just kind of clip right across my ankle, and it severed the veins from there. And it healed up fine, except that I get this great big dark brownish discolored because of the poor circulation. But then from that, I'm pretty sure it was from that, I developed varicosities just in that left or in that right lower leg, not in the left leg. So it was just on that one injured leg. A few years ago, I developed a thrombophlebitis, like clots in the superficial veins, and it was uncomfortable. And remembering those anecdotal reports, I said, "Oh, I'm going to try this." Mm-hmm. And so I went out and I bought a whole bunch of the supplements, and I dosed it about twice the so-called recommended dosing. And the thrombophlebitis just got worse and worse and more painful. Mm. And I finally went in to a vascular guy and said, "Help me fix this." And I got put on actually thrombolytics, and then it went away when I used the prescription drug instead.
Sure. So I guess he was asking not for treatment. I think he was saying that he just wants to use it for prophylaxis and prevention.
And for prophylaxis, it may work. I don't have good
peer-reviewed
studies say that it does. I've just got the anecdotal reports. I know that in my one N of one, when I had an active thrombophlebitis, it was worthless for me.
Yeah. And that's the same with my experience as well.
Go ahead. Doctor, I do have some good good news, considering the eye doctor you just had on.
Yes.
I'm in my middle 70s, and my eyes have went back to 20/20. Now, some of the background, when I was in my 50s, like you said, I needed to start having to have glasses. Mm-hmm. In 2010, they said, well, you're going to have to wear glasses for driving now, and I had to get that on my driver's license. So that's when I started taking supplements, and I take a good whack of lutein and bilberry, like 20 milligrams a day of lutein and like 500 bilberry. 2015, I had my eyes checked, the docs as well. You still need glasses, but you probably don't need them for driving or try on your next test. Sure enough, I didn't need them. I just had my glasses, my eyes checked 2 months ago. The doc says you can get rid of your glasses. You got 20/20 again. So for what it's worth, he says I have just a tiny bit of the cataract trace in there somewhere, but he says it's not an issue. So I, for what it's worth, there's my little testimony.
Okay.
I only have one other thing. What do you think of tetracycline for RA, rheumatoid arthritis, on a long-term basis?
I don't have any evidence that it fixes an autoimmune disease. Now, there was some studies by Phyllis Pease in Birmingham, England, probably 15 or 20 years ago, in which it was her theory that some forms of rheumatoid arthritis were actually triggered by L-form bacteria. And these are bacteria that have evolved to lose their external cell membrane. They actually end up with a very flexible soft membrane instead of the typical bacterial membrane. And Phyllis said that treating that form of rheumatoid arthritis with the tetracycline, doxycycline, and so on was effective. And that once she got rid of the organisms, the disease tended to resolve. Now, Phyllis is a bit of an oddball, and she is not held in high esteem by a whole lot of people, but she did get her papers published. So I don't know. Generally, tetracycline is not considered the therapy for rheumatoid arthritis because it is an autoimmune condition. But it was her opinion that at least in some small percentage of people, that it was an autoimmune condition triggered by these L-form bacteria. And that by getting rid of them, you then could resolve the disease. I don't know if it's true or not, because she's the only person that I've ever seen who held that position.
Yeah. Then in the last 15, 20 years, there have been so many advances in management of rheumatoid arthritis with biologics that they have superseded any research with antibiotic use.
Yes.
So, and people are getting good results. They're getting suppression of the active disease. They are able to maintain better joint health and give function back to people. So I think that has become the standard of care
now. It has become the standard of care. And so things like, you know, Phyllis's research has kind of fell by the wayside. It would be interesting if it turned out to be an infectious process in X, Y, or Z percentage of the diseases, but I don't know that to be true.
Thanks for the call, Larry. Again, we appreciate that.
A non-answer answer, by the way.
A non-answer answer. But sometimes that happens. You can call in with your question at 1-888-312-57. Let's take a little break. And if you are struggling in pain, any kind of pain, elbow, knee, back, hip, neck, what shoulder, what have you, you really need to listen to the next ad here at the break, because it's by Dr. Dan Nelson. And he's the guy we recommend. He was on the show earlier today, about 3 hours ago. But give special attention to the next 60 seconds, and we'll be right back.
Before longevity, I had 20 pounds to lose, and now they're gone. How nice is that?
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Bum, 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 bum.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Bum, 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 bum.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
Bum, 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 bum.
Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone.
All right, 37 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Let's go to...
And the Cordettes. We're listening to the Cordettes.
Right. Let's go to Kirkland and talk with Karen. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. Hi. I love your show, first of all.
Do you like the Cordettes like I do?
Yeah, they're great. So I have a question. I was listening to your show about 2 months ago, and a woman called in. She said she had her father... who was in a nursing home, and no matter how much he ate, he couldn't gain weight. And so my father is 91. He broke his hip about, I guess, a month ago, went for surgery, went to rehab, and there he started to lose weight. He's back home now with private duty nurses. He's 6'1". He's now 131 pounds. He can't gain weight, but also he's stage 4 prostate spread to the
cancer
bone.
Metastatic, spread,
and there's actually a tumor in his bladder, so he's got a Foley. So the doctor told me it's not going to be long, but is it the same situation as that woman that called in that you said that after a certain point in time the body can't produce the bone mass or something like that, you said?
Yeah, it's a combination of things, but it sounds like his primary problem is a sarcopenia triggered by the malignancy. Mm-hmm. The cancer basically just it grows so fast that it's consuming all of the energy produced in his body. He just doesn't have any energy left over for making anything else, really. And so they're probably right. He's most likely a hospice candidate and will not be with us very long.
Right, and it's been going on for 6 years, and can you believe he's still taking the shot? I don't know why they still give him that shot, but because he's taking the shot and he refuses to not, he won't go to the hospice, won't take you. You have to give up.
Yeah, that's right. You have to be really ready.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Sorry, I don't mean to cry. I'm almost crying. Yeah. It's so hard,
I understand.
Yeah.
No, I do understand that. But, the situation is hospice, by definition, is they are terminal. You've accepted the fact they're going to die, and the doctor expects death within 6 months or so. And that is what you do to get on hospice. And so, as long as they are trying to treat the disease, as long as there's active treatment, hospice won't accept him.
But to answer my question, just say he didn't have that. Remember that woman that called in?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That at a certain point in your age?
Well, there is. There are some things that I think can probably help, but they are not standard of care and they are not covered by insurance. There's something called sarcopenia where you're losing lean mass. Your muscles are thinning out. Your bones are getting thin, and you just are fading away. And this is we call this a senile death. This is senescent death. What I would love to do if it were one of my patients in that situation is I would do an aggressive senescent cell therapy. I would decrease their senescent cell load dramatically, and I would put them on intravenous exosome therapies in an effort to boost their messenger RNA to trigger their own tissues to go back into growth mode. I'd raise their testosterone, their dehydroepiandrosterone, levels significantly so that they have growth factors, anabolic tissue factors to try to stimulate their body to grow new tissue. I couldn't guarantee that would help, but I think in the current state of the art, reducing these senescent cells, giving them a big burst of intravenous, effectively messenger RNA to kick their own tissues into high growth, and an anabolic hormone load would be their absolute best chance. Supplement-wise, I'd probably use zeaxanthin. But I guess that's, or astaxanthin. Astaxanthin. I use astaxanthin as a supplement because there are some studies showing that that helps elderly people to add some muscle mass. Mm-hmm. So astaxanthin, senescent cell therapy, anabolic hormone load, exosomes intravenously, that would be my approach. You know, but wow. Given that approach, it would be a matter of, you know, will it work? Don't know. But you've got a condition that is essentially fatal.
Yeah.
You're not going to hurt anybody. You are going to spend a few bucks. But if it works, you know, so you put $6,000 or $7,000 into it, that's not a big thing if it extends your lifespan for a couple of years.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thank you, doctor. Thank you so much, and thank you for taking my call. I love your show so much. Keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Hey, good luck to you, okay?
Thank you, Karen. All right, let's go to Bothell and talk with Robert. Hello, Robert.
Well, hello.
How can we help you?
Yes, I just kind of an exercise nut, if you will. I've always been an avid hiker, biker, skier. Mm-hmm. Also an avid listener for 21 years, first-time caller. But
well, thank you.
Just a week and a half ago, being frustrated with the gyms closed, not reopening.
Isn't that frustrating?
it's such a political issue, in my opinion, but I'll refrain from making a statement.
All right.
Anyway, I sustained an injury about 3 years ago. Training a person for STP and had some injuries to the neck, shoulder, and lower back. Hmm. And as a result of that, it was 3 years I had to quit exercising. Finally got the go-ahead to return to the gym. Things are coming back extremely fast, which must be something to do with muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, COVID-19 struck. Shut down the gym, now back to sedentary lifestyle, just trying to do some weight stuff in my living quarters. Mm-hmm. But with cramped spaces, I wasn't working with equal weights. This one day kind of tweaked the back and the neck, and I thought, well, just get out and do some exercise and be aligned. The same day, I had a bunch of stress, mental stress.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, tachycardia. And just kind of presenting itself just right at the border of around 100. Occasionally jump up to 110, back down to 90, occasionally down to 70. Years back, had some stress tests with some other issues, primarily like PVCs. Doctors said you had an extremely strong heart, possibly athletic heart syndrome. And now I'm just kind of stressed over why I can't get this high pulse to go down. The blood pressure is textbook. Used to be I could get my rest pulse down in the high 40s. Just before the incidents, my pulse was kind of running 60, 70. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get it quite to 40, but running 60, 70. Now suddenly it jumped to 95, about 110. A few times it dropped back to 70. But for the most part, it's going a little fast, occasional PVCs. And I take a boatload of supplements. Like I say, I've listened to you faithfully for 21 years. Learned a lot of really good things. It's always helped. But right now, I'm kind of stymied as to what's going on.
Well, I happen to have an exercise physiologist physician standing here next to me.
Look, and you know, I personally, I'll admit it, don't really love to exercise. I do it because I know it's good for me, and I could do a lot more than I do. But
I tell people I hate exercise, but I hate exercise less than I hate being fat.
Yeah, true. So, you know. True, true. And when I get tired of the dress not fitting just right, I get frustrated and I go back and I do something more. So, you know, the opposite of you a little bit there. But hey, exercise is phenomenal. It helps so many parts. And for you, I can understand whatever is causing your stress is contributing to some of your tachycardia and your symptoms. So I think you described it eloquently in that you really do need that pain stress cycle to break that cycle somehow. My suggestion would be to focus on that stress a little bit more and to do more to break that. Deep breathing stimulates the vagus nerve, and that does reduce the heart rate. So every time you feel that panic coming on, just stop for a minute, sit down in a quiet place, do some deep breathing exercises. And I really mean open your mouth, take a deep breath in, exhale slowly, and see if you can do that more repetitively to let that pass.
I'd make one minor alteration to that. Instead of sitting, because especially with guys, the sitting will often raise the diaphragm.
Yeah,
I tell him, put your back over and lean against the wall.
Okay.
So you're upright, so the diaphragm is dropped. And lean and let the wall take up your weight. Lean against the wall and then do your deep breathing.
Yeah.
So. Okay, you were going to say.
And then my other thought was, I know you said you take a boatload of supplements. I would focus on that sleep issue a little bit more. And if you're really not sleeping well, I would emphasize that you need to get 6 to 8 hours of good, deep quality sleep. So theanine, melatonin, whatever you've taken, you know, we'll use pregnenolone in some patients as well. Whatever you can do to help that nighttime routine get into a rhythm. Behavioral therapy, they say, works better than most medications. But I would focus on trying to get that to control that stress, to get that tachycardia under control. And when the tachycardia is controlled, you won't feed that negative feedback loop for the heart rate. And then you might be able to emphasize on decreasing the pain from the neck and the back and do something else about it.
You were going to comment about something. We interrupted you.
Oh, yes. Regarding sleep, the only way I can get a good night's sleep is to stay awake for 2 to 3 days. I will sleep for 5 to 6 hours. Otherwise, I can do 40, 50, 60 milligrams of melatonin, valerian, GABA, and might get an hour and a half max, and I'll be awake for a couple hours, wishing I could go to sleep. Occasionally, I'll go back to sleep for 45 minutes, maybe an hour, but seldom get more than total accumulated sleep is probably 3.5 to 4.5 max, typical.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't push that melatonin any higher, for sure.
You're right.
I've never heard of that much.
Yeah, well, that's a lot.
I know some oncologists that use that sort of dose as part of cancer therapies, but not for a regular. In fact, if I used anywhere near that dose, I would get such vivid dreams they'd keep me awake.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Initially it would, but I had to slowly titrate. And I thought it was supposed to help with your human growth hormone as well.
Yes.
Yeah. The studies are showing that if you get melatonin supplementation at 10 milligrams or above at bedtime, then you increase your reaction to growth hormone releasing hormone. So, you know, if you're producing growth hormone releasing hormone, the melatonin will increase it. If you're getting on an age where that releasing hormone level is dropping, you don't get as much effect from the melatonin, unless you're taking something like Semerelin as a stimulant for it. But all right.
With that, I'm sorry we can't be of more help. But, not being able to sleep, that's something you got to get a handle on.
Yep. I don't want to go with prescription drugs for that if I can help it.
Boy, no kidding. All right. Well, hey, when we come back in about a minute, we'll have time for one, maybe two calls. All of our lines are open right now, so if you quickly go to your phone right now, you call 1-888-312-5757, you'll be next. So do it. 1-888-312-5757.
You hear all the time about fitness and doing exercise. Where do you get the energy to start your exercise program? With Longevity, I was able to start my exercise program, and that parlayed into more energy, of which I ended up going from 220 pounds to about 180 pounds in about 2 years. And that has changed my life. And that's why I tell everyone I know about Longevity.
Really, 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 are you really mine? Really, 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 are you really mine?
You tell me that you love me, and you tell me that you want me, and you even wear my graduation ring. It's too wonderful. It's too beautiful. It's a fantastic thing. Are you really, really mine? Really mine?
All right. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, Pete, do you have a graduation ring?
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
I think our class had them. I went to Beverly Christian School, and it was a pretty dinky school. We had the biggest class in their history up until that point. There's only 29 of us that graduated. That was a big class. Come on.
Oh,
my brother graduated a few years earlier. He was one of three.
No so, way.
Yes. Wow. Anyway.
My high school graduating class was 1,100.
Yeah. Vicky graduated from Sammamish, and I think they had like 800 or something.
But no, from all the schools I've gone to, all the degrees I've got, I've never bought a class ring.
Yeah, I think we could.
I don't think they have them anymore. They don't do rings anymore.
Well, who knows?
I know.
What about your kids?
There's no ring anymore.
No, I have a friend who, she just graduated from the University of Texas at Arlington, and she went out, and she really wanted a graduation ring. So her husband bought her
a
graduation ring and sent me the picture of a ring.
Oh,
let's
there
quickly
you go.
Anyway, this girl was
there. Oh,
because the song. You even
the
wear
ring.
My graduation ring.
And
it made
me
think, I've never had a graduation ring.
Yes.
I graduated multiple times. I've just never had a ring.
I know about the Super Bowl rings.
I graduated barely from high school. That's it. By the skin of my teeth. And that ain't by much. Okay, let's go to Port Orchard and talk to Nancy.
Hello, Nancy.
Nancy, welcome.
Hello, Doctor. I listen to you every weekend, and thank you so much. I'm 76, and I have recurring UTIs.
Uh-huh.
So very uncomfortable, and they keep putting me on this heavy duty antibiotic levofloxacin.
Uh huh.
And it takes care of all the symptoms, and then 3 or 4 months later, it comes back again.
D-Mannos.
Well, let's talk about what a UTI is so that everybody listening knows what we're talking
UTI,
about.
UTI, urinary tract infection. Basically, bladder infections.
Yes.
Ciprofloxacin is a very potent antibiotic. But it's got some downsides. I don't really like that drug. It's a good urinary antiseptic or antibiotic, but it causes weakening of your tendons. It affects fibrin metabolism, and it can trigger neurologic problems.
It sure can, yes.
So yeah. So D-mannose, which is a sugar that the body can't metabolize.
Mm-hmm.
So when you eat or drink D-mannose, your body absorbs it. It's kicked out by your kidneys, goes into the urine. And it basically, the flagella, the little cilia, hairs on the bacterium that allow them to attach to the bladder wall, it plugs those up. And so the bacteria just slide right out of your bladder with the urine. And so I've used that for decades for women that have chronic and recurrent bladder infections. Just D-mannose, you can buy it. You don't need a prescription. Go online, go to Amazon.com.
Yep.
You buy anything from Amazon and give that a try for a few months, and I'll bet.
How do you spell that?
D, capital D, mannose, M-A-N-O-S.
M-A-N-N-O-S-E, mannose.
Okay. So.
Like just a man. Yeah.
Two N's.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you sell that? Do you have that at your pharmacy?
No, we don't stock it, but like I said, it's over the counter. You don't need a prescription for it, and just give it a try. It helps a lot of people. It's obviously not perfect for everybody, but an awful lot of women, especially older ladies that get frequent infections, it clears it up quite nicely.
Yeah.
And with that, I'm afraid I've got to say goodbye. This has been 4 hours that just literally flew by. I can't believe it. If you would like to know where we are for all 4 hours, not just these 2 hours on 570 KVI, go to our website, lmclinic.com, push the podcast button, top of the page, and it'll list out all of our hours, where we are, and also all of our old shows, so you can listen again. Most importantly, I've told you we have a limited number of health analysis appointments. They're there on our website, lmclinic.com. All you have to do is schedule your own appointment. You do it online all by yourself. One of our clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, or Kirkland, go to lmclinic.com. You get the 2 free tests, and you get $100 of free longevity supplements. You've been meaning to check out longevity? This is the perfect way to do it. Go to lmclinic.com.